Barbara and Anna and all the family and friends of Tom and Peter Reilly who are here today, I again greet you and we share with you condolences. We were happy as a community you could join us today. Normally we have our funeral masses here, but again for good reasons and all, Tom's funeral was up in Rhode Island, I gather, yes. But we wanted to just come together today because we owe a debt of gratitude and a debt of recognition for all of Tom's many, many good works, not just here in the parish, but in the wider community with our community action group and in so many different ways. Tom was deeply committed to justice. He was deeply committed to making sure that our whole community was focused on what God would have us focus on. And so I say that today I stand before you and we have some readings today, I think, that perhaps assist us in working through what is to all of us the very shocking and tragic and sudden loss of both of our brothers. Peter had died just one day, and a couple days later, Tom himself, perhaps of a broken heart, also died. And we have a lot of questions for God. Why? Especially at the death of Peter, when so much Tom was needed by his wife and daughter and so many of us, and yet God acts in ways that we don't understand. And I want to try to show you today that really there's a lot we don't understand. And sometimes one time the Lord said to the apostles, he said, there are many things I have to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But the Holy Spirit will lead you to the whole truth. And then the Lord said at another occasion, one day you'll stand before me and you'll have no more questions to ask me. For now, lots of questions. For now, grief. Then, no more questions to ask, no more grief. But for now, a period to get through. I lost my own mother and sister very suddenly and tragically as well. One in a fire, the other in a snowstorm, fire and ice. God sometimes calls suddenly and swiftly. I can only say that grief is something that sometimes we can't get around it. We've just got to go through it. And God has his reasons. He's not always saying why. But we do have some teaching that we can reflect on this morning. So I'd like to begin in this kind of, the Lord is kind of giving us some instructions for those who are struggling with life's difficulties, in both the first reading and in the gospel. The first reading really speaks of the disillusionment of despair. It says that Job is lamenting, and such a reading that we can all relate to at some point in our life, if not even now. And Job said, is not our life on this earth a drudgery? I've been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me. And the night drags on. I'm filled with restlessness to the dawn. My days pass swifter than my days pass swiftly, and they come to an end without hope, and I shall not see happiness again. I know we've all been in those places, and some of us may be in those places right now. I shall not see happiness again. Perhaps there's anger at God. Perhaps it's just simple grief or both. Shock, yes. And by the way, numb is a feeling. Sometimes we say, I don't feel anything, I just feel numb. But numb is a feeling. It's a sign of shock. We're just kind of shut down. Wherever we are in this, we all raise up our hands with Job and at a moment like this and at other moments in our life where we've said, you know, Lord, you've made many promises to me and I feel like they're all gone and they're all nothing but ashes. And where are you, Lord, in moments like this? And why do you allow things to happen? And, you know, when it comes to these things, when it comes, I don't have, and I would be foolish to stand before you and say, I got all the answers. I don't. There are many mysteries to suffering. There are many mysteries to what God allows and what he doesn't allow, why he intervenes sometimes and other times he lets things go on. for many centuries of injustice. I don't have simple answers, but I am standing in front of a cross. And the Lord said, I cannot say to you, if you're one of my followers, that the cross will not be yours. He promised us that cross. But he said this, that if we would take up our cross and follow him, that he would lead us over and lead us through into glory. But there is first the cross. Now, by the way, you know, just to give one little possible, I wouldn't say explanation, but reason, if you will, for the trouble that we're in. You know, God did offer paradise. Hello? But you see, Adam and Eve, they kind of wanted a better deal. And so welcome to the better deal. God said, if you do eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you insist on knowing for yourself and deciding for yourself what is good and what is evil, if you insist on disobeying and going your own way, I say to you, the fruit that will come from that is suffering and death. And Adam and Eve, as you know the story, took hold of it. And you say, but that was them, not me. Oh, come on. Come on, every one of us. I'm just going to say it plain, church. Every one of us have said our own little amen to what Adam and Eve have done. But I simply say to you, God did offer paradise, but we wanted a different or a better deal. And so there is. But the Lord, in his respect for our freedom, does not simply undo our choice. It's as though God created a great symphony in A major, but the first two violinists played A flat and went into A minor. And God said, all right, what's that note? A minor, we're in the key of A minor, I should say, and let's start my new symphony in the key of A minor. Since we chose the way of suffering and death, God said, all right, I will allow suffering and death to be your way back to me. I will never give up on you. I will respect your choice, but I will never give up. And so the Lord came and he held the cross before us. We got into trouble through a man, a woman, and a tree. And that's how we get out of trouble, the man, the woman, and the tree. Adam and Eve and the tree, now it's Jesus and Mary who said yes to God's plan, and the tree of the cross. God stays with us in this conversation. But it is a painful conversation for us, surely. And I would say, because God loves us, it is a very painful conversation for him too. We've chosen, as a human family, a very painful way. And in the midst of that pain, God works with us. But Job is crying out, I don't understand. And there's a great mystery to suffering, to death, and to all the pain of this life. But I would suggest to you maybe a few things that God does with our suffering, just a few insights. I do not propose them as an explanation, but simply as little brief insights into why at times God permits sudden and tragic loss in our life. You know, you might, I'll just give you the quick list and then we'll explain a little bit about a few of them. God allows suffering, first of all, in our life. Let's give the general principle. God never allows suffering except that something greater will come of it. You say, well, we may wonder, well, how can something greater come? Well, I want you to know, I'm going to just stand up in front of you right now as a witness, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm looking in the rearview mirror of my own life now, and I'm just going to say, I don't know where I'd be today if I didn't have some of the crosses I'd had. Because through the cross, sometimes the Lord has shown me strength I didn't know I had. He closed one door, but he opened something else. God has a way of allowing some of these things into our life so that he can do even greater things in the future. Don't always know what they are in the moment, but I'm just looking back now, and I'm just going to say that I've suffered some losses like you have, like all of us have. But through it all, God has a way of opening other doors and doing other things. And so it is I would suggest to you that God allows sufferings for some of the following reasons: to direct us, inspect us, correct us, protect us, and perfect us. First of all, to direct us. Now, I'm not going to talk about anyone else in this church. We've all at different stages of our life. I'm just going to say there's been times in my life when God had to allow something to kind of shake me up a little to get me moving in a different direction. I'm not going to say that all five of these reasons are necessary for every one of us in this church. I'm just going to say that there have been times in my life when I've been going in one direction and God had to kind of shake me up to get me to move and go in a different direction. Not so long ago, I was driving into Southern Maryland, a long drive, and that's a long peninsula, by the way. You go on and on. You drive past a sign that says the edge of the earth, and then you keep going. But I'm kind of just dozed at the wheel just a little bit, and all of a sudden, the rumble strip woke me up. Thanks be to God for those rumble strips. Thank the Lord. I almost drove right off that road into a ditch. But every now and again in our life, one of the ways that God allows suffering is to kind of be like rumble strips, to kind of get us to wake up a little bit and say, oh my gosh, I need the Lord. I need to wake up and pay more attention. So sometimes in our life, I don't say for all of us, I just say for some of us, God has a way of using troubles to kind of direct us, get us to move in different directions. And so it is that God also uses sufferings to not just direct us, but to inspect us. How real is your faith? You know, one of the dangers for us is that we start talking about faith and it becomes a bunch of slogans. But how do you know it's true? Well, I'm going to just tell you, one of the ways you know, you go through. There's a test in every testimony. And sometimes in order to, if you will, make sure that our faith is something real, not just a bunch of slogans that we're reciting, the Lord has to let us experience some of the depths of the difficulties of life and then see how He still continues to work and deliver us. And so we can raise our right hand and we can give a testimony that I've went through it, but God went through it with me. But sometimes you got to go through some of those tests and make sure that your faith is inspected. You know, some do fall away in trial. So the question for you and me is, how real is our faith? How strong? Sometimes God allows a little bit of that in our life to inspect our faith. We can begin to see, how strong is my faith? Is it the kind of faith that can see me through? Most of us have not had to die. In fact, I'll just say all of us have not had to die as martyrs. And most of us probably won't. But there are some who have had faith so strong that when someone said, I will kill you unless you deny Jesus Christ, they said, then kill me. And that took strong faith. And most of them didn't wake up with that kind of faith. It was strengthened through trials and tests, difficulties. So as I say to you, there is a test in every testimony. So God uses trials in our life to direct us and to inspect us. Sometimes God uses trials in our life to correct us. There's a couple of scriptures that just come to mind here. I'm mindful of Psalm 119, and it says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees, O Lord. Another psalm says, before I was afflicted, I strayed, but now I keep your covenant. Before I was afflicted, I strayed. And so sometimes the Lord lets me experience some of the effects of my sin and some of the trials and the difficulties that come, and so that I can walk more clearly with Him. So we see that the Lord is inspecting us, He's directing us, He's correcting us. But I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes the Lord's protecting us. You ever had one of those days where you missed every stoplight? You had to sit at every red light and you got late for something? But then you found out that, well, there was a terrible accident in that intersection you would have been going through had you not been held. Sometimes God holds you back a little and says, wait, not yet now, not yet. And if you got everything you wanted, when you wanted it, oh boy, you'd be in some really difficult situations. And the Lord, so He held you back and said, not yet, not yet. If you'd gotten the job when you wanted the job, you see, we've all got a time frame. You say, now here's the time frame, God. Now I want you to sign here at the dotted line. Here's what I want, here's when I want it, and here's how I want it. Now you just sign right down there. And by the way, would you please initial at every, and don't forget to date it, Lord. We don't know what we're asking. You know, if we got everything we were asking for when we wanted it, well, as I say, we'd be in much worse shape. So I simply say that sometimes God is trying to protect us in some of our sufferings. And then, of course, finally, God is trying to perfect us. 1 Peter says, you may, for the time, have to suffer the distress of many trials. Something like this, perhaps, but so many other different types of trials in life. You may for the time have to suffer the distress of many trials, but this is so that your faith, more precious than anything else in your life, may by its genuineness lead to praise, honor, and glory when Christ shall come. It's like gold. You know, you've got to put gold in the fire to purify it. And so it is, brothers and sisters, that suffering has a way of kind of purifying us. Suffering has a way of, again, where God directs us, he corrects us, he inspects us, he protects us, and he perfects us. God mysteriously allows some trials in our life, whether a trial like this of loss or just some of those trials where things don't go our way, trials where we don't get the job or the promotion, but we're still waiting. We're saying, how much longer, O Lord? We're still waiting and wondering where we don't get justice. Why is it, Lord? Why? I don't have a simple answer for you. I'm just saying that God can write straight with crooked lines. That God can take some of our lemons and make some really nice lemonade out of them. That God can, you know, he can always, whatever curveball, he's always hitting it right out of the park. If you will trust God. I checked my Bible this morning and it's still there, that line right there from Romans 8. And it says simply that all things work together for good for those who love and trust the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, we don't always know how in the moment. How is this going to work for my good? I don't know, but God does. And somewhere, those of us who would walk with faith have to say, it's enough, Lord, that you know, because I sure can't figure it out. But it's enough, Lord, that you know. And I say to you again, one day you'll stand before Jesus if you're faithful, and he'll say, no more questions asked, not a one, Lord. It all makes sense now. But for now, doesn't. But somewhere to discover that it's enough that God knows and I can trust him. So the first, if you will, teaching that comes from the reading today is Job's great cry. And God answered Job and said, Job, I can't explain everything to you. He says, Job, I'll tell you what. If you can tell me how I put the stars in the sky and how I sculpted out the sea and said to its proud waves, this far but no further. If you can tell me how I did all these things in outer space and inner space, and then I'll give you the answer of why I've let this happen in your life. And Job said, I can't tell you anything. He says, that's right. And I can't explain to you. I think if the Lord tried to explain to us all the things he was up to, all we would hear would be thunder. I don't think we'd understand it at all. The Lord just says, would you please trust me? I'm leading you. And I know where we're going. And you have picked the cross, and that's going to be part of it. But would you please trust me? I will give you the victory. I will give you the victory. There's an old hymn that just comes to mind. It just says, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. And by and by, when the morning comes and all the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome. We'll understand it all better by and by. Not today, but by and by. Well, I want to go on, though, to one other mystery that is in the gospel. And that is what we might call the doctrine of divine decision. So we have the disillusionment of the despairing, and then comes the doctrine of divine decision. You see that a remarkable gospel, but it turns in a minute. What happens is that Jesus is in Capernaum, and he goes to Simon's house. And Simon's mother-in-law is sick, and they speak to him, Lord, she's sick, and he says, okay, and he takes care of her, and he raises her up from a terrible fever. There were two types of fever in the ancient world. There was a fever and there was a great fever. Well, she had a great fever. And the Lord raised her up out of that fever. Well, word got out, and all day long, all evening long, they're bringing folks to Jesus, and he's healing them, and he's casting out demons. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. All that suffering going away just in one evening. Hello? Hello? But then he goes to pray. Through the night he prays, and in the morning, Simon Peter comes looking, and he's annoyed. He says, everybody's looking for you. What are you doing out here? Don't you know there's a line of people back there, and they're waiting to get healed? And those, I'm sorry. He ran and healed them all, didn't he? No, that is not what he did. The Lord said, Peter, we're not going back to the town. We're going to the other towns. Because I haven't just come to be a medical miracle worker. I haven't just come to be Mr. Fix-It. I've come to preach and teach the truth and call people to it. So he says, we're going to the next town, Peter. Now, here is a mystery. God said no to some of those folks in the town who were waiting in line for their healing. God said later to some of them. He said no to some of them. And some others, he did heal. Why? Why did some get healed, some get told later, and others not at all? That is none of your business. It's none of my business. It is for God to know what I need and when I need it. Now, I need to go to him and say, Lord, help me. Please help me, Lord. But you know, I don't even half the time know what I'm asking. God said, if I gave you half the stuff you asked for, you'd be in hell right now. Would you please let me decide? Now, I know what's best. I know when to call you. And you know, some of us, I think that, you know, the way some Christians pray, you'd almost think we're saying, God, just make this world pleasant. Give me enough friends, enough money, and enough creature comforts. I'll just stay here forever. What a disgrace. That's not why we were made. We were made to go and live with God forever. We're just passing through here. So there comes a day, and for the faithful who die, in a way, the day we die is the greatest day of our life, because we get to go to God if we're faithful. And our life really begins. But what happens is we hunker down and we're afraid and we cling to the familiar. And God is saying, there just comes a time in your life where I've got to allow a few trials and a few discomforts to help remind you that this is not your home. Now, I can take care of your arthritis for you, but there's still a grave that's calling for you one day. And I want to get you ready to live somewhere else forever. And that's going to mean you're going to need a few bumps and grinds. You know, I'll just once again tell you, church, I've got gifts and you've got gifts. But if I didn't have some struggles and trials, I'd be so proud I'd just go straight to hell when I die. There are just times in our life when God has to step in. And sometimes he'll heal us. And other times he'll say later and make us wait. And yet other times he'll say no, no. Paul said, I had a problem and I called out to God three times, which is just a biblical way of saying, I called out a lot. And God finally said to me, no, Paul, I want you to endure this physical affliction. I want you to endure it. And Paul says, I've come to understand that in this weakness I have is my strength, because I'm remembering that I'm relying on God for everything I do, not Paul. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says later. And sometimes God says yes. But we've got to learn to leave that up to him. And it's hard because we always think we know best. We know the way it should have worked out. And it didn't, Lord. We know. We think we know. But God says, you don't know what you're asking. You don't have any idea what I protected you from, with all the crazy stuff you were asking for. And some of it wasn't so crazy to us. But God knew it wasn't meant to be now. He knows something else that we don't know. I'm going to say he doesn't just know something. He knows a lot of things else that we don't know. And so listen, I stand before you today, all of us struggling with a tragedy that's here in the room, of a young man who died very young and suddenly, and of a father who probably from a broken heart also died very suddenly. And I don't have simple answers. But that example of suffering is a picture of a bigger example that we all face in life, of all sorts of sufferings, not just sudden deaths, but losses, things that didn't happen that we wanted to happen, disappointments. Somewhere in the middle of it all is a God who's not giving us all the answers, probably because we couldn't take it. I have many things he said to tell you, but you can't bear them now. If God tried to explain, all we would hear would be thunder. Somewhere is a God who says, I do love you. I want you to trust me. I know this is hard. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense. I know that all the things we could have thought that Tom could have continued to do and Peter as well, and if they'd just been able to stay with us. I know all that, says the Lord. I know. But I'm still God, and I'm still giving you graces, and my mercies and my graces are not exhausted. And I'm still working. I'm still giving you grace. I'm still calling you by name. And if you're faithful to me, you'll see Tom and Peter again. And you'll see them in a better place, in a better time, and in a better condition. I don't know what Peter was going through, and I don't know the heartache that Tom must have experienced. But there's a beautiful old song that just says this: nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody but Jesus. Jesus knew Tom's anguish, knew Peter's struggles. He knew whatever they were going through. He knew. And he chose to call them. We say, we don't understand, Lord. But we do say amen. Because we know that you know like we don't know what is best. We don't know all the ways you know. But I don't know. I'm just going to raise my right hand and I got to finish, church. That in all my trials and all my struggles, I haven't understood them all. But God still had a way of bringing a blessing out of every one of them. And I stand before you as a witness. I stand before you as a witness that it isn't just my pleasures that have made me what I am today. In fact, they had a very small role. It's been my struggles, my heartaches, those questions, those crying like Job did to God. Those were the things that really have made me who I am today. They've made me stronger. They've made me clearer. So God does permit these things, but only because something even greater can come. For Tom and Peter as men of faith, an even greater land. For those of us who remain, a purifying of our faith, a learning to trust God even in darkness and difficulty and in doubt. But that's only so that our faith will prove true and carry us through to that great homeland the Lord is calling us to. So today, I guess I'll just quote an old song and be done. When peace, like a river, attendeth my soul, or sorrows, like sea billows, roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well. And I tell you, it's only well because God knows what he's doing. I don't always know, but he knows. And so I simply say, Lord, I feel lousy inside emotionally, but deeper down in that place where I have my faith, I say this: it is well with my soul. With my emotions, not. But I'm going to trust you, Lord, and simply say by faith, it is well with my soul. Amen.